Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to a special edition of the Four Seas Fire Internet Soccer Show. The USA on the road back in Europe against Bosnia-Herzegovina. They were down 2-0 at the half, but an amazing second half by Jozy Altidore and Eddie Johnson, the whole USA team, down at the half. Terrible first half performance, and then a big second half by them as they defeat, come back from a being behind 2 goals, coming back and winning by a final of 4-3. Of course, Edin Dzeko from Manchester City puts in a pair. He opens the scoring in the match. He ends the scoring in the match. But to be honest, it's all over, and the USA gets a heck of a win on the road against a tough Bosnia-Herzegovina side. Let's be honest, they are in first place in UEFA World Cup qualifying in Group G, 6 matches played undefeated, 5 wins and a draw. They've scored 23. They've allowed 3 goals, Bosnia-Herzegovina. And then all of a sudden, here it is. Amazing stuff. Amazing stuff going on here. And it's just been unbelievable what's been going on here. Waiting for my editor from Soccer Newsday, Herb Scriber, who also covers the national team for SoccerNewsday.com, as we're going to discuss this match. And my God, what a friendly win. This was unbelievable. Now, obviously, as we're talking about this 11-game, now 12-game winning streak for the USA, there are some complaints. There's some whimpering. You know, you beat Belize, not a big team, you should beat them. You beat Cuba, not a big deal, you should beat them. Most of these wins are against CONCACAF opponents. But you know what? This is what happens, and it doesn't matter who your opponents are. If they're a weak opponent, you should be able to take them out. If they're a solid opponent, you should have the ability to face them tough and to get the wins necessary. Honduras, no slouch. Panama, no slouch. Jamaica, you know, the U.S. has had their troubles down at the office in Kingston, and they had to come up big against Jamaica when they had a lead. They gave up the lead, but then all of a sudden, here comes. You know, the USA, and they get the win. And you just got to say, for the U.S., it's just been one of those things where, you know, you don't know when this thing's going to break. You don't know when this thing's going to end. You're thinking to yourself, all right, it's going to end in a friendly against a team that is strong in Europe right now, very, very strong in Europe right now. And okay, it's half. They're down 2-0. You don't know what's going to happen. And then all of a sudden, they break out. They pull one back. Nice ball to Jozy Altidore, who laid it off to Eddie Johnson, who made it 2-1. And then all of a sudden, everything comes into play. Everything is looking roses. And join me now, of course, my editor from Soccer Newsday and Herb Scribner. And Herb, you know, this was a game where, okay, it's just a friendly. You're just testing out some of these young players. You still have some players that are going to be on this World Cup roster for qualifying in next month and October. But what a way, after a poor performance in the first half, they come back and it's Jozy Altidore who basically tears them down with help from Eddie Johnson. Hello? Herb, you there?
Yeah, you know, it's one of those things we talk about a lot. Klinsmann and his halftime speeches, you know, it's always kind of a run-of-the-mill joke, but today it shows it, probably more than any other game, just how they came back pretty bad first half. I mean, they had some bright spots, but they were bullied around. And then, you know, you come back in the second half, you score those four goals, you have that hat trick, and it's just, you see a lot of good things, and I was very impressed in how they came out in the second half.
Oh, absolutely. And give credit to Jurgen Klinsmann, because you can tell, it doesn't matter if it's a friendly, it's an official competition, if it's a CONCACAF competition, a FIFA competition, he wants to win. It doesn't matter. He wants to win. He wants to bleed in some new players. He also wants his veterans to go out there who he trusts. And Jozy Altidor, not only is this a 12-game winning streak for the U.S., but for Altidor, this is his fifth consecutive match he scored a goal wearing a USA shirt, and that is incredible.
Yeah, you know, we talk about how Jozy did, you know, in Holland this past year and how he's just been, you know, on fire for them and how he had always struggled with the U.S. And now we're seeing this dynamite striker that, you know, we hadn't seen in a while. So it's good to see him hit that form. And I was very impressed with those three goals, and just, you know, he was quiet in the first half and then he exploded in the next one. So really good to see him, you know, as you said, 12-game winning streak. And, you know, I think Jozy's a big part of that now with this game. And, you know, he's done a lot of good things, and, you know, I'd expect that to continue. And, you know, hitting what you said with Klinsmann just a minute ago, you know, like I said, he likes to bring in, you know, inexperienced players. He likes to test the lineup. He likes to tinker a lot with things, kind of change it up. There was a very long time when the lineup was always different, and we're still seeing that. We're still seeing new lineups all the time. And yet, like you said, he's still competitive. He's still looking to win. You know, maybe in the back of his mind, might know the team. Some teams are better than the others, like when the U.S. played Belgium. But still, then you have a game like the U.S. played Germany, and they won that game. So there's always that competitive edge that Klinsmann brings, and you know, he's always looking.
Absolutely, and of course, bringing one of those kids is a kid that is originally from the United States, but he was playing for the Icelandic under-20s, and then he just made the official switch to play for the U.S. national team. This Aaron Johansson kid, and, you know, I don't want to compare him to Jozy, but I just think that this kid is filled with confidence, and maybe where Jozy was when he was a young kid playing in MLS for the Red Bulls, now, of course, then he went across the pond to play over in Spain. He tried to play for Villarreal, and it didn't work out for him. A couple of stints in Turkey and, of course, in England with Hull, before making this move to AZ Alkmaar in the Everett Diversi. But to me, and I understand why the Icelandic Football Federation is upset, this kid is unbelievable. He didn't score, but he shows you why Iceland is very, very upset that he made this switch back to his native country.
Yeah, he was very good today with the small time we saw of him. Him and Jozy could be a very deadly combination for the U.S., I will say that. If he develops, there's still a lot to work on. But I thought the touches he had was pretty good. He had a few small flicks here and there. You know, he was doing some things that are very impressive. And like you said, the confidence. The confidence at this stage is huge. I mean, he's going in there, first U.S. cap, and he's, you know, amid all this controversy and all this news surrounding him, and he goes out there and puts on a pretty good performance for that, for the game. So good things from him today. And I think if he develops right and he, you know, he's got patience, it doesn't get too confident where it kind of hinders his game. You know, he'll continue to grow, and him and Jozy could be very lethal up front for the U.S.
Oh, absolutely. And of course, you know, I want to talk about that first half. That was really I don't want to say it was disgusting. I think it was a poor performance from the U.S. Eddie Johnson had at least two opportunities on goal that he should have taken it first time, but he decided to try and challenge towards the end line. And then there was that other moment where Jozy, it just looked like he didn't have the mentality to go out in the field and to try and attack the net, and he just lays it off to nobody. And then Bosnia-Herzegovina, they had their opportunities. Dzeko, dangerous as always. Izbisevic is also dangerous as well. We all know about those players and some of the other players that have played for other clubs in Europe. But somehow it just didn't switch on right away. And then they found something to do in the first half, but it really wasn't enough. And it's just the midfield was so disjointed.
Yeah, the first half was interesting. I mean, the U.S. didn't, you know, like you said, I would say it was also a very poor half for them. But, you know, it's tough because we're used to seeing this Gold Cup roster and we're used to seeing kind of a dominating performance. So, you know, our eyes might not be totally ready to see this kind of a game again. But with that said, you know, Bosnia was really, you know, kind of, like I said earlier, bullying them around, kind of physical. You know, you had that not PK, almost PK, maybe it should have been a PK, maybe not call on Mixed Discarude. And that, you know, that's one of those things where, you know, Bosnia is this European power, plays in Europe, does these kind of things, and, you know, the U.S. might not have been ready for that considering that they've been going through CONCACAF recently. And, you know, they had some chances. I think that they were almost reluctant a little bit to pull the trigger on some occasions. And but I think the 2-0 scoreline at halftime was an indicator of what the game was.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And, you know, I think it was a fair result in the first half for Bosnia. I thought they deserved their goals. Dzeko gets two bites of the cherry. And John Brooks, I think he's done some decent things, but you could also tell he's done some things that you didn't like. He didn't track back to help out Tim Howard to try and clear that second attempt, that rebound attempt by Dzeko to make it 1-0. And even towards the end of the match, he didn't really cover Dzeko that good either because he got that flick header on to pull it back from 4-2 to 4-3. And I'm not saying he's not going to be for the national team, but you can tell that this was his first time. He probably had some jitters out there. I think he has an opportunity to be a part of the squad. We'll see what happens down the road after Brazil of 2014. I thought he played okay. He didn't do that bad. He didn't do that great either.
And he did fine, I think, for his first cap. I mean, that's the thing that we got to remember. It was his first game there. And you know, considering that the back line of the United States has never been, you know, the greatest thing to write home about, you know, I think he did all right. He still got a lot of convincing to do. I think, you know, seeing that a lot of people were kind of jumping on, you know, whether or not he should replace Omar Gonzalez in the qualifiers coming up and everything. And I think it's a little too early to judge about that. You know, I'd say he did well for his first time out there. You know, I'm still, you know, I think the jury's still out on him. I mean, you have a guy like Brad Evans who did pretty well today for him. And I'm not totally even convinced about him as a top, you know, national team athlete. You know, so it's like with Brooks, you know, it's kind of the same thing. You got to give him a few more matches, see how it goes and see if he can continue to play in that role. Especially because it's a place the United States has struggled in for a while in the back line. And so you want to make sure that whatever players you do put out there are the ones that are going to kind of, you know, increase the skill there because it's been like an ailing problem for a good time.
Oh, absolutely. Let's go back to Jose Altidore for a minute because, you know, this was probably one of his better games playing for the national team. And, of course, we still got four more qualifiers left in September and October. But the way he played this game, that first goal was absolutely sublime to make it 2-2. But I got to go to that free kick goal that he scored. I mean, he didn't really take too many steps, did he? One or two steps, and he bombs the ball inside the near corner, the upper 90. I've seen Jose Altidore play for the Red Bulls a couple of times. Obviously, you've always wondered how he was going to fare when he was going to be in Europe. It looked like it was a combination of poor mentality and at the same time some of the clubs just not giving him a real opportunity to go and perform. He finally gets that opportunity with AZ Alkmaar and now signing a deal to go to Sunderland, of course, to play for Paulo Di Canio. And Sunderland is getting a guy now, right now, not in the past, right now. This guy has so much confidence in his ability, so much confidence on how to perform, especially getting a second opportunity in the Premiership. You never thought he'd get that again. And he is looking solid, and you just wonder what's going to happen on September the 6th in Costa Rica and September the 10th against Mexico and Columbus.
Yeah, Josie, you know, I feel like he always had that confidence, but he never really had the skill or the game to really back it up, you know. There was that stretch where he wasn't scoring for the United States, and, you know, now he's doing it. And so, like, it even raises his confidence and shows, you know, I can do this, and I believe I can do it. That free kick goal was absolutely delicious. It was
Oh, yes.
It was beautiful. And, you know, Jose Altidore is not the guy that I pick to do a free kick, you know. I'm not looking for him to do it. on this team, and it really surprised me that he had not only that he scored on it, but that it was so just ridiculously good. So I think that that is a big part, and that's a big part of his game that, you know, because, you know, traditionally we've seen him play, you know, kind of, not, you know, looking for balls, you know, not really, you know, sometimes he drifts out to the wing, but mostly he's trying to get being fed the ball and stuff. And now he's got this free kick game that he shows that he can do a little bit at least. So that even, you know, that raises a lot in terms of his offense, you know, the offensive structure. And, yeah, it was nice to see. It was great to see as a soccer watcher. And, yeah, it was Josie Altidore's got something going, and we'll see if he carries it over into the EPL and if he continues it in the qualifiers, because that's going to be a big part for the U.S.
Absolutely. I got to tell you, just amazing how much improved he has gotten, Altidore, in this game. And, of course, you know, Eddie Johnson, and once again, he does have his doubters. If you were on Twitter, there are certain people out there that still doubt Eddie Johnson being on this national team and facing a team with the quality that Bosnia-Herzegovina has. Granted, he took down his CONCACAF opponents in World Cup qualifying, in the Gold Cup with some of his goals in the quarterfinals and even in the semifinals. But you just have to say, I think Eddie Johnson, I'll give him a bit of a pass. He did have a horrible first half. I know he'd admit it. But I think Eddie Johnson, with that goal to pull the U.S. back 2-1, gave him, you know, I think he still has the confidence to go out there and be a part of this national team.
Yeah, you know, Eddie Johnson's interesting. Definitely not one I would have picked a couple years ago to come back and make this kind of run as he has. But, you know, he plays integral minutes. He plays a lot for the U.S., and he gets those goals. You know, I mean, he's obviously an important piece. Whether or not he deserves to be a starter, that's one thing. You know, I might not start him exactly, but I might have him come off the bench, because if you can bring a guy like Eddie Johnson off the bench, considering how he's played recently, you know, that's going to be a good. He's fast. He does a lot of good things, and to have that come on in like the second half when you're looking to make that sub for fresh legs. I mean, that's a sub you want. But he's done a lot of good things. That goal today was very, very important. You know, he's always involved. He's always doing things. But there were moments in the Gold Cup that kind of shook my confidence with him, because he was just, you know, there were times where he would have bad giveaways. He had that bad giveaway today even. And, you know, so it's like he's got some things that, you know, don't make me want to put him in exactly. In that top level, and, you know, if he's playing on the right too, then you got to consider, well, is Donovan going to play on the right, and, you know, how Klinsmann's going to all make it work together. So that's the other thing to consider. But he did a lot of good things today, and he's been pretty solid for the U.S., and great comeback. I think that's the big part to take away. I mean, there were times where it was like Eddie Johnson was done with the national team. We wouldn't see him again. We did. It'd be for Gold Cup stuff, lower stuff. But now he's, like, in the World Cup question, and I think that's a huge testament to how big he's, like, how large he's grown recently in terms of his playing and the way he's performed.
Absolutely, and I also believe, Herb, is that now Jurgen Klinsmann's going to have a hard time penciling out a 23-man roster. Once they do qualify for Brazil, you know, it's going to be tough. You got a tough decision now. How many forwards do you bring? How many midfielders do you bring? I think you'll have a good amount of defenders. But it's going to be the midfield and the midfielders and the forwards. You know, who are you going to bring in? You're going to bring in, an uneven amount. You're going to bring in four, maybe five. You're going to bring in maybe for forwards. You're going to bring in maybe six, maybe five for midfielders, or seven or eight. I mean, this is going to be a tough roster now for Klinsmann to pencil in.
Yeah, it will be. I mean, I think, you know, the defenders, I mean, they kind of – I think the defense is the thing that the United States has to work on the most. But with that said, you know, there are a select amount of guys that Klinsmann can kind of gauge who would be involved. But there are so many midfielders, and there's a good amount of strikers now that, like, you know, that you could put in there. Some are certainly better than others, but, you know, and it's a question too of what, you know, Klinsmann likes. Like, we can see, and I'm still unsure why this is, but, you know, Klinsmann does like Jermaine Jones a lot, And for me, I see, I know Jermaine Jones was successful in Germany a few seasons ago. He's pretty solid there, but he always makes some kind of slip up. He had that bad giveaway today that led to a goal, and then he had, you know, he's had yellow cards in numerous games, and so it's don't. But you know, Klinsmann likes him, so it is tough for Klinsmann to, you know, make a kind of lineup because he has these kind of guys that we know he likes, we know he wants to play, but you don't know if they're going to be, you know, the right choices in that position. And you know, you got to wonder where he's going to play players, and that's another big thing too. Is he going to go with the, you know, a 4-2-3-1? I mean, what kind of formation is he going to go with? I mean, that's another question too, because that'll dictate who he brings in, who he keeps home, and it's going to be interesting, I would say, you know, because we've seen a lot of different lineups, we've seen a lot of different squads, and I think it's going to be an interesting thing to see when we get to that point. But it's really, absolutely, I'd say too, it's too early to tell for sure who's going to make it. Some, you know, your Michael Bradley, your Jozy Altidore, I'd say Clint Dempsey and Donovan will definitely make that squad, but you got to wonder who else is going to go with them for sure.
Oh, absolutely. And now, of course, it's all about what's going to happen with qualifying now, because right now, apparently, many people have said the U.S. needs only 1 point to qualify for Brazil officially. I don't know if it's a little bit more, but, you know, I want to ask you this question about the CONCACAF table at the moment for the hexagonal, because every single time I look at it, and this is basically a whole CONCACAF question, the way things are going, the way that Mexico is playing at home, because they haven't scored at home, they haven't conceded at home, they haven't lost, but then again, they haven't won at home. And I have to ask this question, and, you know, we got at least 3 weeks before the U.S. plays in Costa Rica and Mexico hosting Honduras. Do you feel that maybe this might be the first time that Mexico maybe might not qualify for a World Cup? Because even though they're in third place, and I know they have 8 points, but Honduras is behind them by a point. Panama is behind them by 2 points. Jamaica, I think they're dead and buried, even though mathematically they're still alive. I mean, I don't know. I just have this funny feeling. Mexico, if they don't do anything against Honduras, or if Honduras steals 3 points at the Azteca, Mexico is in the biggest world of trouble I've ever seen.
I think Mexico will qualify at the end of the day. I think they've had this recent struggle, which has really been just an accumulation of draws. I mean, I think that's really been the issue, is that they haven't been able to get victories. You know, they've still gotten points, but they're not able to get, you know, the most points. So I think at the end of the day, they're going to qualify. I really do think they'll pull it out. I think they understand the situation they're in, and I think they're gonna rise to that. They have the players to do it. And I think they're gonna rise and get in there. But it is interesting that, you know, before these recent spring games happened, I would have almost switched the U.S. and Mexico right now in position. You know, I would have expected Mexico to be almost a sure thing to be in there, and then have the U.S. kind of in this cliffhanger, like, are they gonna get in, are they not situation. But I do think Mexico will get in. And I do think I think it'll be a tight race, and I would say they get in number two, you know, just because I think they're going to pull it together. But you know, whether they get in two or three, you know, it's going to be interesting to think who the other team is, because like you said, it's so tight that you put USA, you put Mexico, but then that other spot, it's almost impossible to really pick right now. I would say Panama, based on how they've been doing, and some of their players are getting more in season now, with, you know, Gabriel Torres and Blas Perez playing in MLS now, so they're in form. So we got to see how they do as well. But I do think Mexico gets in.
All right, let's go back to the USA now. 12-game winning streak. 12 games. Obviously, there's a few here and there because it's all mostly CONCACAF sides. Victories against Belize and Cuba in the CONCACAF Gold Cup. But obviously, you know, those are games that they should be able to win, and they did. But what does this mean to you when you hear about a 12-game winning streak that No one's ever done this before, even in Europe. The most it's been has been six. One national team has had six straight victories. It's never been this long, and it's never been done anywhere outside of, you know, UEFA, at least. What do you make of this, and how much of it is it really Klinsmann?
Well, you know, first off, when I hear about a 12-game winning streak, you know, I'm kind of asking, who'd they play? But the thing you got to remember is, you know, 12 games based on who you play, yeah. But it's still kind of a, I don't want to say remarkable, but it is quite a showing that you're able to string together 12 wins, you know, regardless of who you face. I mean, you know, soccer's a tough game. You're playing a lot of different games, especially like today. They're playing in Europe. They're playing, with a team that hadn't really been together too long, kind of young, kind of experienced. So, you know, and the way they had to come back, that says a lot. But Klinsmann, I wouldn't say it says too much about Klinsmann because while he is bringing in the players and he's doing a good job with that, he is kind of messing around with a few things, trying different things. And, his style is definitely a lot different than, you know, Bob Bradley's was. And I think Klinsmann is kind of giving a little bit of, you need to attack, you need to kind of, you know, work at it rather than, like, work against it, which is kind of how I felt in previous years where, you know, the U.S. was kind of sitting back and, like, waiting, you know, defending, playing very defensively. Now we're seeing a little bit more creativity come in. That's the analytical side. But when I hear 12-game winning streak, it actually means a lot more, I would say, to, you know, U.S. soccer fans. I mean, that's the big thing that I think the U.S. is always kind of, you know, because everyone talks about how the U.S. soccer's not a big sport here. And I think the big thing is because the U.S. hasn't been successful, you know, because the U.S. is used to its teams really dominating in that sense and having the best players and winning the most titles and all that. And so now you're seeing this U.S. with this huge winning streak, and people love streaks. They love winning streaks, you know, so that it means a lot for U.S. soccer culture and its fans that the U.S. is able to pull all these wins together and go the distance with this. But from an analytical side, like I said, it matters who you play, but it's still a good thing to put in these wins together. And, you know, Klinsmann's had a good influence on it, but, you know, I wouldn't put it totally up to him. You know, this has really been kind of the USA we should have expected by now, at least as far as the Gold Cup goes and kind of the way they played these. You know, they should have developed to this point, and, you know, I think it's a very good sign, at least moving forward.
All right, Herb, listen, thank you very much for joining me today. I will send you my next article after Saturday's Red Bull match against Philadelphia. But, listen, thanks for your time and joining me today, and hope to have you back on again soon.
All right, thanks, Daniel. It's been a pleasure. And, I was trying to talk to you soon. And thanks to everyone who listened today.
All right, thanks a lot. And, of course, you can read Herb's article on the U.S. men's national team on SoccerNewsDay.com. Head on over there to SoccerNewsDay.com. He's not only my editor, he's also one of the fellow writers that I take, have some fun with. So that's pretty much it right there. But let's give you a quick update. There was a World Cup qualifier actually in Europe that had to be redone because of the snowstorm that happened in Belfast in Northern Ireland. Northern Ireland was supposed to host Russia back in March. And of course, we all know about snow games, don't we, everybody? But I got to say this. Big result for Northern Ireland. They defeated Russia by a 0-0, late goal in the first half. But I think I have it up here, Mr. Martin Patterson. So for World Cup qualifying, that's a big result for Israel as they are in the same group along with Portugal in UEFA. But back here, this was a hell of a game, down 2-0. A comeback victory, the first ever comeback victory on European soil for the United States as they defeat Bosnia-Herzegovina by a final of 4-3. It was Jozy Altidore with a hat trick, along with Eddie Johnson, who got his goal with help from Altidore. So Jozy Altidore, 3 goals and an assist today. Man of the match for me in the second half. Fantastic job by Jozy Altidore, and the USA continues the winning streak. 12 straight victories for Jozy Altidore, 5 straight matches scoring a goal. He's got at least 7 goals in that streak. My name is Daniel Feuerstein. Thanks for listening today. Thanks to Herb Scribner for joining me today. The USA defeating Bosnia-Herzegovina by a final of 4-3. And I'll talk to you guys on Monday. Take care now. Bye-bye.